Friends, we gather here today in the protective shelter of God's love to celebrate the life of our dear Tess McDonald, a woman of great kindness and gentleness and grace, a woman who showed love to so many, her family especially, of course, but her church, her family, her friends, the communities where she lived. She loved deeply and was deeply loved and is now dearly missed. For her family, who would like to express their gratitude to you all for being here today, I'm sure it is strange to go into the house and not to see her sitting in that bright front room or at the kitchen table. For those of us who knew her through the church, it is so strange to look over at her pew right there, to see her cushion and not to see her there. And when she is not here, we feel the sadness anew of her absence. It will take time for us to release her fully. But it is good to be together, to share our grief at her passing and our joy at having shared our lives with her. In this time, I invite you to come fully into this space, to let yourself rest, and to allow the doors of your hearts to swing wide open, so that the grief that we carry might be lighter in the sharing of it, and the gratitude that we hold may ripple out in circles of blessing. The prophet Isaiah calls out, "Comfort, comfort, O my people." So if tears come, let them come. But let us not end with tears. May our hearts be filled with sweet memories of all that Tess was and continues to be as she lives on in the love we have for her. And if we find ourselves smiling with joy of our memories and stories of her, let that too be embraced. This is a space that can hold it all. In our celebration and remembering of her, Tess would be glad. I can see her bright smile now. Glad especially for how her love has brought us all together and binds us together here in this celebration of her life. So let us stand now together. Let us lift our voices as we are able. And after Bill plays a brief introduction to the hymn, we will join our voices in O God, Our Help in Ages Past. It's in your bulletin, and we will sing all four verses.
together in the responsive prayer. Eternal God, who brought forth all worlds from the womb of your being and natured all creation to splendor in the cradle of your care, we thank you this morning for the life of your daughter Tess. We thank you for the powerful way she loved her family, her church community, and your good creation.
We'd now like to invite Tess's grandchildren, Emily, Jonathan, James, and Jenna, up to share a word from Scripture.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. I only got to know Tess in her later years. I met her about 5 years ago. I never got to eat her famous apple pies or know her in the way so many in this congregation today did.
But I would look for her every week as she came through that door with Jean and sat in that pew. She didn't need to say much to share a generous warmth, a light of kindness and love that just emanated from her. She welcomed me from the very beginning, as she did, I think, everyone. And when I asked her how she was each week, she always answered with a smile and with gratitude, especially for Jean, for her children, and how they were loving and taking care of her. So when we sat down to think about scripture passages for today, and we read this passage from 1 Corinthians about love, it read almost as if it was written about Tess. Paul wrote these words in his letter to a church to help them know how to love each other better, how to be family, community, how to love God and love neighbor. Tess lived her life as a living example of the kind of love that Paul is talking about. In the back of your bulletin is a beautifully written reflection with a timeline and stories about Tess and her life. It was written by her daughter Jean, and I hope that you will spend time with it, soak it in, enjoy it. Tess led a remarkable life. As Jean, you share in your piece, and as we'll hear from Tess's other children shortly. From the cow fields of Kansas, straight into the bustle of New York City, where working as a dietitian, she met her beloved George. To her years here in this community at the Union Church, and then to Florida, Vermont, D.C., and back again. Consistent in her life was her great love of family and how she embodied this kind of love that Paul describes. Love is patient as Tess was sanding little wooden toys for children in need. Love is kind as Tess was, always able to find places of need where she could help, people who were hungry that she could feed. Love is never boastful or arrogant or rude. Jim always says that he can never remember a time when his mother swore. How many of us can say that about ourselves? Love rejoices in truth. Tess rejoiced in the truth of the love she shared with so many. You could see her rejoicing in her smile when she gathered with family and friends. I saw that rejoicing in our reception room after worship, surrounded by the bustle of people she loved, especially in moments with family, that smile with Alice on her lap, her great-granddaughter. And it is clear to me how fully she passed this great capacity for patient, humble, kind love onto her children and her grandchildren. She was surrounded with the kind of love in these last years, as Paul says, that bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Would that we might all be surrounded by that kind of love throughout our lives and in our final days. God has welcomed Tess with a wide and welcome embrace. She has gone from us physically, fully now with God, the source of all love. And yet, Paul assures us, love never ends. Love endures. And surely, Tess's enduring love lives on in her family and in all of us who knew and were touched by her. As we continue our remembering, I would like to now invite her children forward, beginning with David, to share their memories of their mother.
Which one should I take? Forgive my stroke. When my mother died, it was not just my mother who died. It was but one of my best friends. Her wit and wisdom contributed to make me who I am today. So part of me died.
Get right up to the microphone.
Tragedy and loss have become all too common. In the recent years, two of my cats died. Two of my cats disappeared. And my neighbor's husband died. And my neighbor's dog died. Each time, I read all or part of a poem by W.H. Auden, which was featured in the funeral part of the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral. I've changed the pronoun, so it's appropriate. She was my north, my south, my east and west, my working week, and my Sunday rest. My noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. Thank you.
As all of you know, my mother was really special. My father saw this right away. In one of his Harvard Medical School reunion books, they asked all the alumni to answer a question. The question was, what one experience during your medical education has a profound or positive effect on your life or practice? But his answer was this. Hepatitis B lowered the boom on me near the end of my internship in 1946. When I was well enough to go out for a walk, I invited the dietitian to join me. After a pause and due deliberation, he agreed to do so, but only with the understanding that nothing will become of this. I learned later that she already had decided that she would not marry an Easterner, a doctor, or a blonde. And I had all of these unacceptable features. What a challenge. To make a long story shorter, we married 7 months later, and have lived happily ever after. List all the positive good traits that a person might have, and these apply to Tess. She's the greatest, and has made a continuing good effect on my life. That was the best walk I ever took. Now, we heard that story
For those of you who don't know me or don't remember me, I'm Susan. I am the third of her four children and the first daughter. Been away a little while, but this church is still home. I have a calendar that has wonderful sayings, expressions on it. And a while back, there was a very nice one. It said, "It is the wise mother who gives her child roots and wings." And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, she really did give me roots and wings. Of course, the type of roots that I was thinking about were not, yes, you stay here, you don't move anyplace else. It was traditions, values, and I've taken those with me everywhere. One of the traditions we've had in our family, before Christmas, we make a recipe called Grandma's Cookies. Okay, they were her grandma's cookies. My grandsons, they're their great-great-great grandma's cookies. We still just call them Grandma's Cookies. But every Christmas, we make them. When they were in kindergarten, their teacher sent home a little notebook, and each kid was supposed to do a page for the notebook and send it back to school. What is your favorite holiday tradition? And for them, it was making Grandma's cookies. So we got together and made a small batch for them to take to school with them. And we were able to put pictures on the page of, I don't know, the previous 3 years of them helping to make the Grandma's cookies. They're in kindergarten, okay? So they're pretty small. But one of the pictures has who they called Grandma Great in the picture with them, helping to make the cookies. And I was able to get my daughter Emily to bring that page, and it is in the reception room, so you can actually see it later. So we make Grandma's cookies. The apple pie that's been referenced, she worked on that over time and perfected it, and there was no recipe. And there was one Christmas that I took her and I said, "Hey, make me an apple pie." And she would take something ready to put it in. I'd snatch it away and measure it and wrote it down. So there is a recipe. In her later years, she was referring to it. And the ultimate compliment from my husband, he says that my apple pie is almost as good as hers. So the apple pie recipe goes on. When she was a girl, she was in 4-H. And that's when she got her nickname, Tess. It started out as Tessie, got shortened to Tess. And when she had kids, she helped with Cub Scouts a bit, but she also helped with Campfire Girls. She was my leader. And when I had a daughter, it ended up being Girl Scouts, and I was her leader. So we have another tradition there being carried on. She was always very frugal. She would say that she was a child of the Depression. And that has carried through with a lot of the stuff that we do. It was interesting that she went to college and she expected her daughters to go to college. This was important. I think my dad's motivation was a little different than hers, but I went to college, became an occupational therapist, and could have been self-sufficient if I hadn't met this nice New Hampshire guy. But college was important, a tradition. It was valued. Marriage, important, valued. She was married 53 years when my dad passed away. I've been married 43 now, still working on it. Family is important. And when my husband and I moved out west, we brought our children every summer when they were young so that they would know their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, and the places where we spent the summer. Sometimes there are other expressions that I've come across that she could have said if they hadn't been written down by somebody else. One of them, sometimes when I open my mouth, my mother comes out. And that happens with me. And she had an incredible knack of talking to strangers. Back when it was called the MTA, before it was the MBTA and now the T, she would talk to total strangers at the stations. And I talk to total strangers sitting on chairlifts and when I go hiking and in campgrounds. If someone doesn't have a smile, give them yours. She never said that, but man, that was her all over. She was always smiling. This church meant a lot to her. And she didn't just come to church on Sunday. She was a part of its operation over the many years. She was actively involved in the Women's Association, the annual rummage sale. She was in charge of the luncheon. And I'm sure there's more than one lady that learned that you butter to the edge of the bread from her. And that's one thing that I still, to this day, I'll be making a sandwich and I'll be thinking about my mom as I'm putting the stuff on. It's not usually butter these days. It's usually olive oil mayo, but it goes to the edge of the bread. Otherwise, you get a dry sandwich. She worked on the altar committee. She was a deaconess. She did all kinds of things. She taught Sunday school, kindergarten. And when I was off different places, yeah, I taught Sunday school and altar guild, and I've done a bunch of that too. She used to say that going to church always recharged her batteries. And she would always come when she could. So a lot of those are the roots. The wings, some of those are wings also, but some of the wings that were important to me. After World War II, and the soldiers came back and they'd seen Europe, it was like, ooh, let's take the families and go see Europe. There was an ad campaign called See America First. And she bought into it. And the summer that I was 10 years old, we took a trip. My dad took the month off and we went west. We started out at Niagara Falls, we went to the Grand Canyon, we went to Yosemite, we went to the Pacific Ocean, we went to Disneyland, but we went, and we were out there, and it was beautiful. And I saw a lot of the world beyond Newton, beyond Waubun, and I kind of latched on to that later. Campfire, definitely wings. You learn so much working with other kids and other adults. It was great. College, exclamation marks. That is definitely wings, going to college and getting out there. She moved a lot of different places, and so did I. And another quote that I came across that suited us both well, bloom where you are planted. And she did that with volunteer work wherever she was. If she was the rose, I'm the wild rose. And that's a name I sometimes use on the internet. And when When my daughter gave me this necklace for one Christmas, I was very touched. Around the outside edge, it says, mothers and daughters are joined in the heart. And it's very true. When I was thinking back on when she taught Sunday school, one of the songs came to mind, and the words were very appropriate. Every children's Sunday, there would be kids up here singing, Jesus loves me, and Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. And I thought about that, and I thought about the words, yes, she was a sunbeam. And the song was very appropriate. And if anyone thinks, oh, it's too bad I didn't talk to Mom about all the roots and the wings, I did a couple of years ago. And I was able to express my gratitude to her then and since then also.
One of my fondest memories poem by Mary Oliver, who said that to live in this world, we need three things: to love what is mortal, holding on to it as if our life depended on it, and when it is time to let it go, to let it go. So I will miss her smile and her quiet presence. And I'm probably the only Asian American she has in her list of friends. And that's pretty good. One of the outstanding things, though, about our test, when I think about a test, first I think of an apron, and then I think of a turkey. I don't know why, but I do. She was always in the kitchen. And as Susan got old, she was helping her mother out in the kitchen. But I do remember the Christmas tree and Grandma's cookies, because that was the target when no adult was looking. And it really, the bottom of the tree was empty. We would all hit it. I think that we could all remember being at a dad of the house on Christmas Eve. Nobody would sleep. Uncle George and my father would park themselves in the big playroom, and we could hear, "Go back to bed, it's not time yet." Jimmy was the biggest offender of that. We had many happy memories of going to Spofford. And when you stop and think about it, in today's age, everybody's all over the United States, all over the world. We were very fortunate in the fact that travel wasn't that common. We were always together on Christmas, Easter. We were always together on birthdays, Labor Day, Help Me Girls, what else? with Thanksgiving, with Nana and Grandpa. And then the torch was passed out to Aunt Tess to do the cooking. But it was just wonderful. We had such a sense of family, and it was so very special. And we were very fortunate to have grown up in that era. But our cousins are very special to us. I think I can speak for Dane and for Sandy, and we had such a great time coming down here. We're very familiar with the church. We had a wonderful aunt and uncle. We were so blessed in every way. And look at the kids that are here today. Thank you for coming. It just shows that it continues. Thank you. Some of you may have known me as Jerry Hill, long time ago. And we had a young mothers group that got together. Most of us had lots of little children and busy husbands.
talks about her playing her pretend tea parties and things, and that way that includes Grandma. And I think it's because Grandma just radiated such kindness and gentleness and friendliness that even such a small child could tell what a wonderful person that she really was. Light shines on and on in each of us. And after they light this candle,
Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for dear Tess, mother, grandmother, grandma great, great grandmother, wife, friend, devoted church member. We praise you for Tess, baker of pies and cookies and turkeys, the bearer of tradition, nurturer, feeder of the hungry, giver of smiles, teacher, traveler, lover of roses and children, and especially her family. We praise you for Tess, who you have graciously received into your presence. We know, O God, that your love never ends. When all else fails, you are still God. In these stories and precious memories we share, her love and bright light are alive and present in and among us. Scripture tells us, God, that you prepare a room for each of us in your heavenly home. And we know that Tess is with you even now, reunited with George and all of those who went on before her. But as we know you welcome Tess into your embrace, look tenderly on us who grieve her loss. Keep true in us the love and compassion and light Tess shared, and the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways, may we trust you and live guided by the example of love that Tess showed us, a love that is patient and kind, that bears and believes and hopes and endures all things, and that even in death lives on forever. It is in the name of the one who showed us the greatest love that we pray. Amen. Bill will play our prayer response, a piece of it through briefly, and then we will join him in singing Be Still My Soul, found in your bulletin. God of boundless compassion, all that you have given us is yours. As first you gave Tess to us, now we give Tess back to you. Receive her, O God, into the arms of your mercy. Raise her up with all your people. Lighten our sadness. Assure us of your love. And enable us to see beyond this place and time to the enduring truth and steadfast love that is you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who knew and is with us in suffering and grief, who who lived and died and lived again, who is our hope, our comfort, and our way, and who taught us to pray together with these words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and join our voices together now for Tess. We sing, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. The words are in your bulletin. If you would like music, they are also can be found in our hymnal. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
May we go with the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, for now and always.